Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
City Queer Cast, show number 619. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
It's last Mitchell Fain show on the couch.
I know.
What the heck? For some time now. Yeah.
I know, it's getting close to leaving.
It's getting close to you setting sail.
Yeah, I mean, I love this gig.
On the wild seas.
Yeah. I mean,
I was watching The Man last week on CBS Sunday Morning that's about to go in space for a year in his little pod, and he's going up there. Which I didn't know, he's the twin brother of, what's the senator who got shot in the head?
Gabby Giffords?
Yeah, Gabby Giffords' husband's twin brother is the one who's going up.
Because he was an astronaut as well, the husband.
That's right. And so they're testing they're testing Gabby Giffords' husband here as he ages in his cells against the twin brother in space so they can see what it does to...
Fascinating.
Isn't that wild? So fascinating. I love it. But anyhow, I was thinking about that and I was thinking, it's kind of like Mitchell being in a pod on a boat floating on the water.
Room.
But he's not gone for a year. But
I'm not gone for a year and I can go swimming.
4 months. Yeah, you get to get out. You get to go swimming. You get to hop on land. But still, you know, I'm quite claustrophobic. I've never been on a cruise and I just don't know if I could be
One thing I know about Miss Amy, if you were going to take a cruise, you'd get a nice stateroom with a balcony.
You wouldn't
get like one of the inside cabins with no windows. Why would you do that?
I couldn't do it.
No, you wouldn't do it. I know you wouldn't do it.
I would freak
out. Go big or go home.
I'd freak out.
Go big or go home.
Then you could come into my stateroom. And...
Yeah, exactly. I could, yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
I got to go on a cruise with you, maybe next year.
I know.
If you do another one next year, it is really fun.
It is really, really
you
fun.
You got a sweet gig, my friend. It's a good gig.
We're going to do 3 weeks in the Bahamas.
Not everybody gets to do it or could do it, but you get to do it and you do it very, very well.
And I really enjoy it. I mean, I get it. There can be some like... claustrophobic issues as far, and I don't mean like.
Oh no, I'm just talking about being on a ship. Like I'm also have a hard time being on a ship. Like I had a hard time on the ferry from Boston to Baytown.
So it's apples and oranges.
Okay, good.
Because unless you're outside staring at the ocean, you feel like you're just in a hotel.
Yeah.
You very rarely feel the ship.
Yeah.
It's
see, this
too
is
big.
Just it's all this unknown that kind of makes me go.
It's too big.
I don't know if
I
can.
I mean, if
do
it's
it.
Rough seas, sure you'll feel the ship, but like it's rare.
Yeah.
I mean, I can count. I've done, this would be my 8th contract, and I can count on one hand the number of times I thought, whoa, the seas are rough.
Oh, okay,
out of 4 months. Months times 7.
Yeah.
28 months. That's more than a year that I've been at sea.
Yeah.
And I can count on one hand the number of times I've been like, oh, this is.
And then I think pirates.
Yeah, there are pirates. But they're usually standing
in a Disney show.
Yes, exactly. Or they're standing at the port when you get off the port in like colorful, ill-fitting costumes that 40 other employees have worn over the years. Yeah, and they're doing art. And they're sort of like forcing you to take your picture so that later you can buy it.
Okay.
That's the most you're going to see from
pirates. Well, I will still... Can we discuss your tour the following year so I can decide where it's going to be worth it for me to cruise? Okay.
Yes.
Because I know we've talked about it, and this year it's not going to happen, but maybe next year.
Although this year is fun because I'm going to Bermuda, and Bermuda is really fun because we spend 3 full days in Bermuda. We travel. Like, we take 2 days at sea, get to Bermuda, then we sit there.
Do you do shows the 3 days you're there, or no?
Yeah, we do. My old contracts on the smaller ships, we didn't. We wouldn't do any shows. We just have 3 days in Bermuda.
Nice.
But on this contract, we will have shows at night.
But that's okay.
Please.
What else you got to go do?
What else am I going to do?
Except let people adore you and laugh at
do
you and have
3, 40. I mean, compared to the rest of the universe as far as working goes.
Yeah.
I mean, we work 6 days a week, but sometimes we're just working for 3 45-minute sets.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. We're working basically from 7.
4 hours?
Yeah, 7 to 11. Mm-hmm. Or something like that, or 7 to 12. I mean, mm-hmm. that is not a grueling schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who complains about this job, it's like, we are not digging ditches for 60 hours a week.
Yep, in the snow.
And we're making ha-ha on the
Thank
high seas.
Thank God you're about to be in warm weather. Somebody should be.
I know.
It's really
I'm really looking forward to it.
I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll hopefully touch base with you because you're going to be docking in New York. So I'm really looking forward to
that. Yeah, we can chat, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, lots of big things are going to happen while Mitchell's at sea. First of all, the Supreme Court is going to hear, of course, and there's going to be the hearing on same-sex marriage or marriage equality while in April. So maybe we'll get to talk to you sometime April, May. And then hopefully the announcement will come sometime in June, perhaps, around Gay Pride Month. So I don't know.
That
but
would be
I'm hoping
wild.
That we can talk. You and I can clink a glass across ooh-ooh spheres and...
I know.
I'd be really, really happy.
There's lots of exciting things going on. I mean, there's lots of exciting things going on with HIV research right now. And there's a lot of things on the horizon.
Yeah.
And I always get very pensive before I leave on this contract because I do feel like I'm leaving my life for 4 months. And it's a very different life when you're... It's like life as you know it ceases to be when you live on a ship and that's life. And then you forget that you had a life before it. And then the minute you get off the ship on your disembarkation day...
The reentry is immediate.
Immediate. And you've completely forgotten that you just spent 4 months at sea. So I get a little bit like... I feel disconnected from the world sometimes when I'm on these ships. So it is interesting to think about all the things that could potentially be happening while I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that I'm unconnected to the world. I am connected, but it feels like another world.
Yeah, I imagine, because you're ship life.
Ship life
and real life. And you've discussed it over, over
it's
many
ship
podcasts.
Life and real life. It is two different things, but it becomes your life, right? It's like the Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
It becomes your life. You know, and you like suddenly get very invested in like, the captain didn't say hi to me. I hope he's not mad at me. It's like, I respect him, but I don't give a shit.
Right. Well, it is interesting, you know, because it depends on how big your world gets, right? Like, I was just home in Tennessee, and it was really, really interesting. And there's this perception that, you know, my world is really, really big. And I guess my world is really, really big. And yet, and I don't mean that my world's small, but I honestly think people have a much more inflated sense of how big my life is. My life is perfectly sized. Thank you very much. But you know, just in talking to this last trip that I was home, I had a couple of really interesting conversations. One with a spiritual religious leader there who is struggling with the fact that their own beliefs and views about homosexuality or gay people is not in line with their congregation. And yet their job is to minister to their congregation. And of course, that's not the only topic that one is ministering about. But, you know, trying to make sure that they walk a fine line with that, which it's like, oh, it's all well and good to say, well, just be on the, you know, just be, you know, be in your beliefs. And at the same time, you know, just that small town mentality, and you don't want to, you don't want to block people from ministering to somebody who, you know, will be blocked off if they feel like your views are political views or your social views are, and it's a struggle. And I felt like
this word leader though.
Yeah. And I think this person is really praying about that and really, you know, has said to me now knowing me and getting to know me more, you know, and we've only had, you know, a couple of conversations about this, but just the impact that, you know, that knowing somebody like me and having the opportunity. And so that's really, really interesting. You know, I understand that plight of, you know, having a lot of functions and having to wear a lot of hats and having to have a job. Like, you have a job to do, and dependent upon the denomination of the job, you know, aligning yourself with that.
Sure.
And so, you know, interesting conversation.
Works the other way, too, right? Like, these, you know, government workers who don't want to participate in gay marriages, right?
Clerks that's
and
right.
stuff like that. It's like, well, that's great that you don't
but
believe in it, but it's the law and it's a government job.
That's right.
You don't get to not do your job. You get to give up your job.
That's right.
You can choose. You absolutely that's have free, right. free choice.
And this person could change their religious denomination right. or order
or go to
or
a different or ask to be changed to a different congregation in a more progressive
that's
area.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
And yet I think the person thinks that, you know, maybe they have some other work to do here right. and through that there could be change. And sometimes right. change is just incremental, you know. But another cool thing happened, you know, talking about just like the world being small because, you know, I do have to just remember that, you know, some people's world might seem like, oh, why are we talking about this? Like, that's such a small thing. Like, I can even have that sometimes with my parent, like mm-hmm. a parent or something. And then I have to remember, well, that's kind of the size of their world or that's their community or how right. much they go out or how many people they encounter or whatever. But I reconnected with somebody. You know, my grandmother died mm-hmm. 5 or 6 months ago almost. And at the funeral, there was somebody who came to the funeral who made a point of my partner flew down. My girlfriend, who many, I don't know if I've talked about this in the podcast, but many people in the town, of course, know I'm gay because right. they have kids who have Facebook or whatever, right. but I've not gone back home really since the day I left high school for college. And so,
that
you know, it's whispers.
1937?
And, yeah, 1937 is a long
it's
time.
It's a long time to be away.
And so, but you know, my girlfriend came down and sat with my family and we have a, I come from a very conservative town, and anyhow.
But you also have a very close and loving family.
I have a very close and loving family, but there were family members, significant, like aunts and uncles, who I'd never discussed my sexuality with, who'd never met a partner or girlfriend, you know, because we didn't have, they weren't there, we all weren't together at holidays or things like that. So anyhow, this one person came over to me, I won't even say the gender, just because I'm trying to just be anonymous, but somebody came over to me and my girlfriend and was kind of telling my girlfriend when we were standing in line, people shaking your hands before the funeral, we had the visitation. And this person came over and saw my girlfriend and said, "Hey, what are you doing back there? Come on up here. Don't be hiding back there." And was really, really lovely. Mm-hmm. And that person and their spouse were very welcoming and talking to us and, you know, didn't act like, they didn't go, "Oh, you're gay and this is right. your partner." They just were, "It's so great that you're down here with Amy." And
they were happy to see you.
They were just happy to see me and embracing of my girlfriend. And then at Christmas, we got a Christmas basket from this family or a Christmas gift or something, you know, some food or whatever. And on the envelope, it said, you know, Virginia, Leo, Amy, Hank, and my girlfriend's name. And I took that's a really snapshot sweet. Of it and I sent it to her and I was like, you know, "Oh my God, look at this." And she was like, "That is the sweetest thing." Well, I happened to bump into this person, or there was an occasion where I actually had to call this person for something, who stopped by my house in Tennessee while I was home. And we were discussing something and I said, "Thank you so much for including my girlfriend's name on that card. And you were so welcoming," because they asked me immediately how she was.
Right.
And this person said, "Well, you know," and we had been visiting for a little bit and getting ready to be done. And I said, "Well, it just meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to her. And, you know, she really remembers who you were from that whole experience of meeting all these new people." Right. And it was so sweet that you included her name in the, you know, our family holiday card envelope, you know. And this person said, "Well, you know, of course I'm, you know, well, of course I'm going to do that, you know." And because of, and said their daughter's name. And I said, "Wait, what?" I was like, "Is your daughter gay?" And this person was like, "Yeah."
Oh, and you didn't know?
No.
Same.
And neither did anybody in my family. And this person said, "You know, I've wanted to tell your family, but it's just there's never an opportune moment, or we're out in public, and it's not that I'm ashamed, but it's just like awkward, and you know." And so, so anyhow, I ended up telling my family because they said it was fine and that they had been wanting to. And you know, and I just realized,
boy, because
like,
your parents
how
could really
powerful.
Be a your parents could really be
that.
Such a resource of just like
absolutely, and as close, you know, and as and known by, you know, we all know each other and all that kind of stuff. But I could just tell that this person just couldn't wait to tell me, you know,
it's really lovely,
and talk about it. And it just reminded me that, you know, just small communities and large communities and whatever, you know, and just to hear this person say, you know, the thing that upset us the most, you know, was just that the girl would have felt like she couldn't be out, you know, mm-hmm. and waited to tell for fear of getting disowned or getting,
right.
you're not kicked out, all but just like that all that, still happening. You know? And I said, you know, I mean, I said, just, you know, thank God, you know, and this person was saying that they and their spouse are both like, you know, the one that all of her friends hang out with, and they know all of her friends, and that she just broke up with somebody, you know, but you know, they're the cool parents. They're right. the accepting parents. And I said, you know, that's a mantle. Like, my parents have that.
Exactly.
You know, and I mentioned you, and I mentioned other people, I mean, that, like, know my parents, and that my parents would show up for if they needed to, or they know you all, or know your lives, or, like, knew when you were having some health stuff,
right.
or know when, you know, they just know the people in my life that are important, you
yep.
know? And I was like, that is going to be, the gifts of that are going to be so huge.
Huge.
And these are very religious people.
Well, I was just going to say.
And so that's when we talk about religion and stuff like that, I'm like, that story like made me go, this is changing. Like that I had that conversation with
right.
just a person. And then I had a conversation with the person who is actually, you know, going to be working in a religious way with people. You know, officially or unofficially, kind of in a spiritual way with people. It's like in and around my smallish top part of the world, you know, of Tennessee, you're just like, oh, this is change. Like, it's coming.
Dolly Parton Christians, that's what I call them.
Dolly Parton Christians.
Well, you know, I was saying that, you know, you and I differ very, very.
I'm happy to be a part of a Dolly Parton Christian society. I think
yeah.
we should get a t-shirt.
I know, we should start calling it that. I'm the
get
T
on it. Facebook page.
I'm copywriting
okay,
it.
Copyright right now and make a Facebook
so
page.
You and I mean, I think you and I, interestingly enough, have very similar spiritualities.
Yeah.
But very different views on religion, I think.
Yeah.
But we can both agree that maybe the least Christian thing in the world is to disown your child.
Oh, good Lord, yes.
I mean, if there's anything less Christ-like than sending your children out because of who they love, I haven't heard of one yet. So a story like that is so, it's great. I get it. We're all brainwashed by our own. And I mean, to the liberal or to the conservative, we're all sort of brainwashed by where we grew up and how we grew up and all of our baggage in every moment.
But honestly, it doesn't matter if you grew up in the most liberal place in the world. There is still the thing which we were talking about in this conversation back home, is that you will always have to, you know, come out. You will always have to say your child is gay.
Yeah.
Oh, and your child will always have to come out. And I've been doing it for 23 years. You meet somebody new. It's like, you know, there's still the presumption that everybody's straight.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or whatever.
Absolutely.
Or that's the norm. And I said, that's great, but it's just, you know, it's still a reality, a part of life that, you know, that.
I'd like actually to tell sort of a brief story, speaking of like coming out. So this just happened this week as well, while you were gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell it very quickly. In 1983, my friend Louisa and I came out of the closet mm-hmm. together, right? And we graduated in 1984, and then hand in hand,
mm-hmm.
we went off to college together,
mm-hmm.
right? She's queer, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm queer. And we were so excited to start this new life, you know, out of our little weird mafia town, and we were excited to meet new people, you know,
mm-hmm.
and specifically other queer people, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so we went to freshman orientation at the University of Rhode Island, not that far from home, but freshman orientation. And I remember the day we were sitting in an auditorium, the very first day of freshman orientation,
mm-hmm.
and we were being idiots, I think. We were just giggling or something because we're
mm-hmm.
best friends and we're just being idiots. And this person leaned forward and stuck his head between us and whatever we were giggling about,
mm-hmm.
clearly sort of reacting to the joy that we had in our friendship. And we both saw the most beautiful boy that any of us had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
He was stunning. He had this dark red hair and freckles, but he was tan and he was stunning, like an angel.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically just announced that he was going to be our friend.
Mm-hmm.
He just leaned forward. He's like, whatever's happening here, I want in. His name was Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And we all became friends that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 31 years ago.
Wow.
And Dean was truly, and I say this, not that physical beauty matters, but Dean was one of the truly, he looked like a Ralph Lauren model
mm-hmm.
because he was also impeccably dressed every day, even like sweatpants.
Did you say blonde or redhead?
Redhead, but so, dark red.
Yeah.
I mean, like Eddie Redmayne sort of like.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he
or
was.
Prince Harry,
he,
who
yes,
I think is adorable.
He was the most beautiful boy, and everybody, everybody loved Dean in a campus that was, you know, the engineers don't know the theater department, and the theater department doesn't know marine biology. Mm-hmm. In a very compartmentalized campus, Dean, everybody knew Dean. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved Dean. He truly was an angel. And he passed away this past week.
Oh, no.
And it has made me think about how 31 years can go like that. You know, this boy leans forward and says, I want in. I want part of whatever this joy is. Mm-hmm. And he was an answer. It made me think of it because he was talking about, like, we were talking about spirituality. And in a way, he was an answer to mine and Louisa's prayers of, mm-hmm. we hope to meet new gay people who will bring something new to our lives and this mm-hmm. joy and this beauty, and who could participate in this journey that we were starting mm-hmm. at 17, 18 years old. And Dean was such a huge part of it. And I had lost touch with Dean over several years, but reconnected with him over the years, and actually got to see him the last time I was in Rhode Island, which was amazing.
Wow.
We had this amazing day in Newport, and it was so beautiful. And unfortunately, he passed away this week. And it's just made me think about how quickly time passes and how important it is to, I mean, I don't want to sound cliche, but how important it is to say that you love the people you love mm-hmm. and to have integrity. Mm-hmm. And to choose the high road mm-hmm. because, you know what, suddenly it's gone, and it's 31 years later and Dean has passed away. So I just want to say,
and you can't take it with you, and also, but whoever you were is ends and stops with where
it.
You were.
So here. What did you do so while you were here, and who did you say I love you to, and who did you let know that you love them?
How will you be remembered?
And having sort of like collected some stories from friends of Dean's over this past couple of days, how truly loved he was, and how I talk about his physical beauty, because he was one of those people who was as beautiful inside. He truly was like an angel, but his angelic insides mm-hmm. were also reflected in how gorgeous he was. Mm-hmm. And so he made people feel a certain way. When he paid attention to you, you felt lit up because mm-hmm. he just was like, I can't believe this angel on earth is talking mm-hmm. to me. So I'm just remembering Dean's beauty.
I'm so sorry.
And the power of it. Thank you. And I'm remembering his humor, and just rest in peace, Dina.
Yeah. I'm so sorry about that. I didn't know.
I know. It was tough. It was such a surprise.
It was a sudden death?
We just didn't... I mean, you know, suddenly you're like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, even though I'm getting older, I still think of myself as... You know, I joke about being old, but, you know, I feel pretty young.
No, you are young.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty friggin' spry for whatever. And so I think everybody else must be the same. Like, if I'm 48, then everybody else must feel like me.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess it's not true. Mm-hmm. Some people have some health stuff. And anyway, rest in peace, man. Just, you know, thank you.
Have some good energy coming down to
That's
you.
It.
That's what you
That's
got.
That's it. What's the energy you want to put out in the world? That you kick your kid out for being queer? Yeah. Or you're the family that all your gay daughters, friends come to your house because they feel safe? Isn't that who you want to be?
Absolutely.
Hooray, right?
Hooray.
That's what that made me think of this story.
I love it. I love it so much. Oh, well, we have to tell you some other news that's going on in the world this week and what's going on in the theater and arts world. Little last minute things Mitchell may try to go catch before he catches a boat.
So much to do.
And then we'll be back. We're going to talk briefly about some trans topics that are coming up in the papers, big papers in the U.S., on the web and in social media. So Mitchell Fain and I talking the T and the LGBT after this.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Indiana passed a bill that opponents say protects business owners who don't want to provide services for same-sex couples. The Republican-controlled House Senate passed the bill, known as the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, 63-31, and Republican Governor Mike Pence signed the bill into law. Thousands marched in protest over the weekend, and Angie's List Corporation canceled a $40 million headquarters expansion in Indianapolis as a direct result of the passage of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Criticism also included a joint statement from the NBA, WNBA, and the Indiana Pacers and Indiana Fever about mutual respect and inclusion in those teams.
Presbyterians approved marriages for same-sex couples in the first ever nationwide grassroots vote on marriage equality by a faith tradition. The Presbyterian Church USA now holds that marriage is between two persons rather than a man and a woman. 87% of the presbyteries voted yes to the change.
Hundreds gathered March 23rd at the Texas Capitol in Austin for a rally against same-sex marriage. headlined by the Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore. A marriage equality opponent, Moore instructed Alabama's state probate judges to refuse marriage licenses for gay couples, despite a federal court ruling that Alabama's same-sex marriage ban is unconstitutional.
Gay rights activists returned to the Idaho Capitol to protest lawmakers' refusal to pass anti-discrimination protections, this time by refusing to leave the state's bill-drafting offices. Idaho State Police made 25 arrests for trespassing in the state house.
Transgender New Yorkers covered by Medicaid can now access the medically necessary health care they have been denied for nearly two decades. A new regulation ends the 17-year-old exclusion of transgender health care from New York's Medicaid program.
Faith-based adoption agencies could refuse to participate in adoptions that violate their religious beliefs under bills that the Republican-led Michigan House approved. The bills also would prevent state or local governments from taking actions such as refusing to issue a license or providing funding for adoption agencies exercising objections.
The Puerto Rican government will no longer defend the U.S. Commonwealth's same-sex marriage ban. The announcement coincided with a brief Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla's administration will file with the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston, which is hearing a lawsuit against the island's same-sex marriage ban.
The state of Texas filed suit against the Obama administration over plans to extend federal family leave benefits to married same-sex couples. The lawsuit comes in response to a rule change announced by the Labor Department that grants paid time off to legally married same-sex couples, even if they are living in a state like Texas, which does not recognize same-sex marriage. The rule change to the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act was scheduled to take effect on March 27th.
Iowa mental health professionals would be banned from trying to change the sexual orientation of gay patients younger than 18 under a bill that state Senate approved on a straight party line vote. The bill now heads to the Republican-controlled House, where it will likely be declared dead amid strong opposition from Christian conservatives.
Pride School Atlanta is scheduled to open this summer. The first school in the Southeast to focus on GLBT questioning and intersex students. If it opens in August, it will be one of the first LGBT schools in the nation to cater to students as early as pre-kindergarten.
A probate judge is asking the Alabama Supreme Court to concede that gay couples can marry in Alabama if the U.S. Supreme Court rules same-sex marriage bans unconstitutional later this year. Montgomery County Probate Judge Stephen Reed filed a motion for rehearing with state justices who, on March 3rd, ordered probate judges to stop issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples.
Students at a New Hampshire high school will now be able to choose between black and white for the graduation gowns, after a group representing transgender students asked the school board to allow that. Traditionally, boys at Kennett High School in North Conway wear black caps and gowns, and girls wear white ones for graduation. However, members of the Gay, Straight, Transgender Alliance asked the school board to change that after transgender students were assigned robes for their misidentified gender.
In world news, Costa Rica's president will prioritize a bill legalizing common law marriage and another providing other legal protections for same-sex couples. The announcement followed a meeting with LGBT activists who requested action from the presidency ministry on the long-delayed bills.
In Canada, Sherry DeNovo, the NDP's critic for LGBT issues, introduced a bill seeking a ban on conversion therapy for people under the age of 18. She also wants the treatment to be delisted from the province's health care plan so that taxpayers aren't supporting it.
Uganda President Yoweri Museveni faced members of parliament who were angry that the country had spent 600,000 Ugandan shillings, or $205,000, on a public relations campaign aimed at cleaning up damage the country's now-defunct Anti-Homosexuality Act did to Uganda's image. The act left the government scrambling to respond to swift and increasingly punitive sanctions in 2014.
About 100 London gay rights activists protested outside the flagship store of Dolce & Gabbana. Protesters held signs saying, "Created with love, not fashion. Hate is never in style, and love is what makes a family."
The West Bengal State Cabinet approved the formation of a transgender development board, the first of its kind in India. The 12-member board will issue ID cards to transgender citizens, as well as provide employment and educational opportunities and health care.
Japanese politicians have formed a multi-party group to look at LGBT rights before the 2020 Olympic Games. Almost 40 lawmakers have come together to discuss the issue of discrimination against LGBT people in the wake of the Winter Olympics in Sochi. The group intends to look at discrimination against sexual minorities in Japan and the rest of the world and speak to LGBT people about the issues they face.
In entertainment news, Andy Cohen, popular late-night talk show host of Watch What Happens Live on Bravo, will now also executive produce an all-new channel featuring entertainment curated by Cohen exclusively on SiriusXM. In addition to producing the new SiriusXM channel, Radio Andy, Cohen will also host a weekly radio show exclusively on the 24/7 channel for SiriusXM listeners nationwide.
Cheyenne Jackson is joining another openly gay actor, Matt Bomer, on American Horror Story Hotel. Lady Gaga is headlining the cast.
On the strength of its current 7-season ratings, RuPaul's Drag Race has already been renewed for an 8th season. The season 7 premiere of Drag Race was not only one of the reality competition's most watched, but it earned a nearly 20% increase in the advertiser-coveted 18-49 demographic. Moreover, its second episode of the season saw a double-digit increase over the debut episode. Additionally, Logo has greenlit a new series, Behind the Movies, a working title, that Broadway actor and Ugly Betty star Michael Urey will host.
Celine Dion will be returning to Caesar's Palace in late August to resume her Las Vegas residency. Dion went on hiatus last summer to care for her husband, who's been battling throat cancer for the second time. She briefly retired to help her husband back in 1999 when he was first diagnosed. The singer's decade-long residency at Caesar's began March 2003 and has taken in $133 million so far.
Actor Steve Buscemi shines a spotlight on a gay African-American inner-city gang in the documentary Check It. Check It centers on a gay African-American gang struggling to survive in one of Washington, D.C.'s most violent neighborhoods. It follows five childhood friends as they claw themselves out of gang life through an unlikely path, fashion.
Sony Pictures has closed a deal to adapt the Tony Award-winning Broadway smash Beautiful, the Carole King musical, into a feature film. Tom Hanks and Gary Goetzman will produce the film.
And the CBS daytime serial The Bold and the Beautiful had a jaw-dropper of a reveal last week. It was revealed that Maya Avant, played by Carla Moseley, is actually transgender. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Lily Tomlin, and I'm on Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 30th, 2015, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Experience The Diary of Anne Frank like never before. Join 13 actors in the intimate Writers Theater bookstore for a powerfully authentic portrait of a young girl clinging to hope. Rediscover the classic The Tribune called truthful, deeply engaged, and extraordinary in the telling. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org. The Diary of Anne Frank is now playing at the intimate Books on Vernon in Glencoe, just minutes from Chicago on the Edens or Metra.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
We'll be right back.
Mitchell on the New York Times, mid-early March, had a great article in it that talked about, he followed actually kind of one of the dancers of the New York City Ballet, who danced as a male dancer in the New York City Ballet and then transitioned in his mid to late 50s to female, to what she felt was her true identity. And this whole article talks about, transitioning late in life and some of the hurdles and struggles and it references how beautifully we're seeing some of those struggles in Amazon's Transparent that mm-hmm. our dear friend Alexander Billings is in, that won the Golden Globe this year and everything else.
Yes, and just won a GLAAD award as well.
Yeah, and won the GLAAD award. And it's really, really interesting because there's also this website that is come out that is about late age transitioners, and it's put together by Vanessa Fabre and life partner Jess T. Dugan, and the website is To Survive on This Shore, I don't know if that's tosurviveonthisshore.com, but it's called To Survive on This Shore. It's just really, really interesting because now there is such a story being told of younger people understanding mm-hmm. because we are talking about it mm-hmm. so much more now. And there
The girl that we mentioned is getting a reality show. I think we talked about it last
week.
Yeah,
Jazz Jennings, Jazz, right. Which is really cool that the Learning Channel and Logo and, MTV, so to speak, and has this campaign for Clean and Clear, which is like, the modern day Clearasil to, Puffs is to Kleenex, right. Kind of thing. But the fresh face, right, of young teenage yes. years is what that is. And Time Magazine, mentioned in Time Magazine. So we're seeing the difference of these young people getting to speak their truth at such a young age. Not all of them, but more of them.
More of them. Hopefully more and more and more.
And
more.
I just saw this play at About Face Theater that was a part of their run, a Kid Like Jake that was just on, which I thought was so strong.
It was marvelous.
It was really, really great and also so infuriating and frustrating mm-hmm. and to see the battle and how much it takes for a parent to also fight for the child educators to fight for the child, or anyone to fight for the child's voice to be an authentic voice.
It's interesting because in that play, it's about this couple, this very progressive, liberal, modern, mm-hmm. urban couple,
yeah.
and they have a son that we never see,
right?
But we understand that he's five, and we understand that he's gender nonconforming,
yeah,
and that potentially is trans, but we don't know because we never see that. We never meet the kid. And what I loved about the play was that those of us. In the LGBTQ umbrella, with very rare exception, actually get to hear the conversations that our parents may or may not have had.
About us, yeah.
For certain people like me, I'm sure my parents never had a conversation about having three queer kids.
Right.
Never came up between the two of them because they weren't even going to even fathom it,
Right.
Regardless of how gender conforming or not we were as kids, but to hear parents have a discussion about it was very interesting. And I think you're right that we're getting more awareness of these kids. And so this is sort of.
And educators are too.
Educators
too. And educators and all these.
To provide a safe space.
We've done even news stories just in the past few weeks about, letting trans kids, having bathrooms. In different schools that are gender neutral, or having trans kids that want to compete in athletics get to work with their parent or guardian and the other athletic people, department people, to determine which team they should be on, which gender team they should be on, or all these different issues. And so the young people are starting to have, and they're having some legal protections. I mean, trans people are starting to have some legal protections, even though there are many places where they're not. Not than they are.
How these older folk. It must seem.
Well, they also just have so much of their life identified through a particular lens and a particular gender. I mean, even like with our friend Alexandra, and I don't want to speak for Alexandra, but even with Alex, like she's kind of like a mid-range transitioner, right? Like nowadays, she would be looked at, a mid-range transitioner, not when she was 12 or 14 or before puberty, but also not 50 or,
Because she's been...
She's a 50-year-old woman and has been, living as a woman for more than her life now than she probably...
I think that it must be very difficult, like you said, to have... it's not just that you're set in your own ways, but everyone in your life has... an agenda about who you are.
That's right.
Right. So when you're 14 and you say that you're trans, it's, you know, we can adjust our paradigm about who you are because you've only even been a person for, you know,
that's
seven
right.
or 8 years as far as like having a real personality or whatever. But somebody who's in their late 50s.
Yeah.
With a career and a history and relationships. And
well, and often
children.
They don't make the choice for themselves until a spouse passes or they retire from work
mm-hmm.
or until their children are grown and gone or whatever, you know, these mandates we have of like when we will allow ourselves to live an authentic life because we're tethered to so many people or so many responsibilities. And I think those heighten as well, you know, for somebody transitioning, you know, in their 50s or in their 60s. And so
there must be so many issues too around there must be so many issues around the issue of, you know, I think about gay friends of mine who have come out later in life,
mm-hmm.
right? And so they've missed, I'm not trying to put a negative spin on this, but they missed that adolescent
and
time.
And they start having an adolescence
right, that,
at 50.
That, right. And so that's going to be, I know that for friends of mine who have come out later, that that's a difficult mm-hmm. road to hoe, you know, which is my drag name, by the way, Rhoda Ho.
I like Rhoda Ho.
Thank you.
She wrote a rhododendron. And the article does go through some of these. Just if, in case people want to Google search it, you know, it's called Better Late Than Never, New York Times from March 8th. You know, and it is interesting because, you know, people feel like we're watching it so publicly, right, with mm-hmm. Bruce Jenner, which was discussed last week in our show in the news that, you know, they were going to have this reality mm-hmm. series to chronicle. Supposedly they were going to have a reality series. They'd reached out to GLAAD. They'd, you know, sounds like they wanted to do it right. And it's on hold or it's not happening or whatever. But we actually have been kind of watching it. I mean,
right.
in this heightened and obviously the information not coming in any way with any delicacy.
Right.
But we are kind of like watching it happen. We have been watching it happen. Right. And it is, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's such a public way.
I think he's
right?
getting a lot of criticism only because he's been, people, there's been so much speculation and he actually hasn't said anything definitively, right? So there's so much speculation, but I do feel like when he finally, or she, finally, we get to hear from Bruce Jenner's own mouth and own heart and own words
yep.
what the experience of life has been and what the realizations and the sacrifices or whatever, I think that it will go a long way because unfortunately, Bruce Jenner is also tied to the Kardashian clan, and so there's lots of cynicism about that. And
yeah.
that's, I think, is the unfortunate part of it is that, you know, before the Kardashians, Bruce Jenner was remembered as one of America's greatest Olympic athletes of
Absolutely.
All time.
Of all time.
I mean, he was such a huge part.
The Wheaties box.
Was a huge part of my childhood. I mean, the decathlon, he was the 70s, right?
He like, was the 70s.
He's
almost the picture of the 70s.
Yes. The picture of healthy
All-American 70s.
Yes. So that story is almost like, almost if you wrote that as a play or a movie, we'd be like, come on, that person's not transitioning. That's some sort of like
right.
literary, you know, literary motif
yeah.
that you're trying to work
yeah.
out. It's in a similar way to like Brokeback Mountain. While it is about gay cowboys, really what it's about is American masculinity, right?
That's right.
What that story is ultimately about.
Right.
As is this story in a way, but this is real.
Yeah.
And so I think it is fascinating. I was fascinated this week too. There's this thing that's been happening, sort of going viral,
mm-hmm.
and some people that we know are involved in this campaign.
Yeah, Alex.
Alex and Ian Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Ian, who's also in
Transparent.
Yeah.
Both it's trans actors, and it's basically it's hashtag We Just Need to Pee,
mm-hmm.
which is this whole thing that's been going on about people fucking freaking out about transgender people in bathrooms that, according to the gender that they define themselves as.
And we see that on Transparent.
Yes, we
there
saw that amazing
episode,
right.
really powerful episode with.
But here's,
with Jeffrey Tambor.
But it's a controversy based on bullshit because there is not a repeat, not an army of straight boys pretending to be trans so they can go into a woman's bathroom. First of all, how stupid is this? Can we just break this down? Mm-hmm. First of all, what kind of commitment to craziness is that? So while there may be a crazy peeping Tom or not, why would you want to go into the woman's bathroom? What are you going to see there? Women putting on lipstick? Anything right. You'd see is in a stall. Women are right. In stalls.
That's right.
I mean, if you wanted, in a man's bathroom, at least they're like peeing at urinals. You can take a look at someone's dick. But like, that's not happening either. It's not like a bunch of trans men are going into men's bathrooms to look. I mean, like,
right.
People just got to fucking pee.
Right.
And so this campaign, I love it. It's like, it breaks it down to such... one could say that it was sort of broke it down to sort of a base thing, but I think it's breaking it down to basic.
That's exactly
which is
right.
We just need to pee. Once again, it's a false controversy. Like in Florida, there's all these laws and people are freaking out. Do you want these men in your daughter's bathroom? It's like, these men are not in your daughter's bathroom. First of all, they're not men.
Yes.
They're trans women and or trans men. But do you notice that it's not, that there isn't this controversy the other way around? Right, mm-hmm. They're only worried about some imaginary army of straight boys who are pretending to be trans so they can go into a woman's bathroom. What do they think they're doing in there?
Right.
A, it's not happening, and B, what is to see?
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't spend a lot of time in women's bathrooms, but I'm pretty sure you don't have urinals in the women's bathroom. So, no. There's nothing to see. What, somebody checking their lipstick or like
you really
brushing
can't
their hair?
See anything.
What the hell? It's such a false, and so much of. Trans issues are about these unbelievably archaic
assumptions.
Well,
and if men didn't have to stand at urinals, they'd both be the same. If men had walls to their... Even if they had walls on either side,
they
would need a door.
Okay. Not walls, but there's like partitions. It used to be back in the day, like at Wrigley Field, there's still like a trough. I mean, to men, they'll understand what I'm talking about. You just whip it out and there's like a trough.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. It's like... I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, once in a while I'm going to glance down and see what people are working with. But I mean... But everybody does that straight and gay like. But I mean, like, it is weird that it is weird. I mean, very few modern buildings don't have partitions in urinals. But it is weird. It's just like, guys, we just need to pee. This is not no big deal.
Yeah. Well.
So if you see that, if anyone sees that sort of hashtag, we just need to pee campaign come through on your Facebook.
Well, because they're taking pictures of them standing in the men's bathroom. Right. Like Alex is standing in the men's bathroom. Like, this is where I'm supposed to pee
in
Florida.
Right. In 10 states in the union, this is where I'm expected to go to the bathroom. Meanwhile, Alex is this beautiful woman.
Right. And then Ian is like this buff
hot dude. Right.
And like he's supposed to be in
the women's bathroom.
I mean. It makes no sense.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I just say push that. If you see that hashtag... reshare it so that people understand we just need to pee.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, it's so funny how all of our, you know, our issues, our LGBT issues come down to just the simplest, craziest, simplest thing. It's like, I have a whole career based on who I have sex with. Like,
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, who I have sex with. Like,
nothing else is different.
It's just like, and you know, for most of us, it's like, how often are you getting it in your whole adult life? Like,
I know.
Really, how big of, if we took how much time you spent doing that one thing
compared to
everything else you do.
Everything else we do.
It's like, are you
except
kidding me?
Except for me. I'm mostly doing that one thing.
Me too. I was going to say, I'm pretty much doing that one thing, but we're the only two people in the whole world that are probably, it's outweighed. But anyhow, we know the rest of you schmoes aren't getting
it. I was talking with somebody the other day, and they said made an interesting point about even the sort of like this whole thing that persists about like gay guys in a locker room, like, oh, you're looking at my dick. It's like, yeah, we might be, but you know what? It's not that fascinating, and I'll tell you why. We all have one. It's not the same
like
thing
a
as
woman,
a straight guy
a woman walking in and seeing
or a straight
a
guy in a woman's dressing room, right?
Right.
It's not the same thing. Relax, everybody. It's not that fascinating.
That's
it's
right.
not that exotic.
That's right.
In fact, you know what? All of our body parts are not that. We're so freaked out about body parts.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, I was talking to somebody about going to nude beaches and there's no nude beaches in Bermuda and I was bummed about it because it's a very conservative nation, but I love nude beaches. Like, oh, I could never do that. I'm like, why? Do you think your body is so A, special or B, grotesque that somehow it's going to stand out from the millions of other bodies that are almost, with very few exceptions of like the unfortunately... sort of affected by stuff and the absolutely, you know, societally approved perfection of like a Cindy Crawford or, you know, Gisele Bündchen. Our bodies are not, being a person who goes to nude beaches, our bodies are not that different from each other.
Yeah.
A little more weight here, a little more less weight there, a little bit more muscle tone here, a little more skin here. they're so not that different. We're also freaked out about, oh, what if they see my penis or if my boot, like, who? Think about how silly it is.
We're when you go to Europe, it's all the old people who are just totally nude.
Well, also, we're all
they don't really care.
We're all born. It's just such a silly thing that we're still so, when you think about all the important things on this planet, like, like climate change and hunger and like,
I would just like to say that Helen Mirren is a very big naturist, so you know she likes to be nude.
Hallelujah.
And I'm like, hallelujah.
Right? I was saying it's just such a silly controversy, all this stuff about our bodies. The idea that transgender people are somehow suspect because they have decided to either alter their body from their original biological.
Oh my God! But go to Miami or LA. Every person has altered their body beyond biological.
That's what I mean. It's like, can we just stop worrying about what people look like on the outside? I mean, break it down, y'all. We're all just skeletons.
It's true. Skeletons with skin and muscle.
I mean, when I hear people talking about race, I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't a race issue. In racism is an issue. Mm-hmm. It's a huge issue, and the idea that we live in a post-racial society is so crazy to me. But when people talk about race, I'm always like, they really aren't racist. Aren't we all just the human race? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is really no difference if you took all the skin, if we were all just skeletons, between is the Asian race mm-hmm. or the black race. Like, what are we talking about? We're all the fucking same. It's so weird to me.
I'm so glad you're going on a boat to go spread this message of good human race, humanity, special consciousness.
But when it breaks down to it, just on a biological level, there's so little difference between any of us, whether we're whatever color we are, whatever size we are.
Well, but we want to be different. You know what? I think pretty much every person walking this earth, or let's just say Americans, because I'm an American.
Right.
Americans have one of the worst diseases in the world, and
which
it is called chronic uniqueness.
Yeah.
We all believe we're unique.
See
and we're
you
really
next
not
Tuesday.
See you next week. Exactly. It's like we're all the same.
We're all the same, right? This American exceptionalism is like, you know what? We're not that. We're all fabulously special and not at all.
Exactly.
That's how I feel.
Chronically the same and uniquely
different.
You know, special.
Yeah.
And you know, and that somewhere between that balance.
See, this is where my spirituality comes in, because we are all physically the same, but sort of our souls are all different. We all have a different imprint of our soul, whatever that, whatever, however one defines soul. So we are all innately different, but not, we all, you know, the organs are all the same, right? For the most part.
Yeah.
You know, our eyes and our nose and our, you know,
but made up by all the same spiritual energy. That's what I believe.
Yeah, it's all the same thing. There's only one race. One race, one love.
I love you.
I love you too.
I'm going to say that before you leave.
Okay, I love you too.
And you'll call us, you'll call in.
Yeah.
And you'll give us
maybe from Cape Canaveral
the 411
or something.
Of all your specialness
mm-hmm.
as you go out there to try to see how everybody's bodies are uniquely the same.
Bermuda, baby.
I'm with you. All right, bon voyage to you. And everybody, we'll be with you next week. Tracy Baim's going to be here with us talking about LGBT homeless youth and some great work that's being done in this area about that. Plus, we're going to be looking about marriage just here in Illinois and the impact, you know, that a year later that marriages have been having in the state of Illinois. Yeah, already been a year, so it's crazy. All right, everybody, have a good week, and Mitchell, set sail.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.